The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership. Welcome to Town Matters on WWER. Town Matters is here to inform Colonial Beach residents about issues you are concerned with from as close to the source as we can get. If you're on social media, you know that it's full of people talking about issues and events around town. It is rife with opinions about what is wrong with the way things were done, and it's full of misinformation. Like any form of gossip or retelling of stories, sometimes facts get misconstrued or completely changed. Our goal here is to find out the real story of what's going on straight from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And sometimes, to quote the venerable Paul Harvey, to get the rest of the story. My name is Ted Tate, and today on Town Matters, we're talking to Duke Dotson by phone this time because we couldn't quite get our schedules to mesh. Duke, thank you for taking the time, though, to call us and give us some new information about what's going on with your project.
Thank you, Ted. I appreciate you having me.
Now, phase one is well underway. We've seen it. The townhouses are gaining altitude, and phase two is I guess just about to take off. I guess you closed the deal with the town on phase two.
We are set to close in probably like 2 weeks or less on phase two, so we're really close.
Okay, and tell us about phase two. That remind us which buildings that encompasses.
Sure, and just a brief update on phase one. Phase one is going to be a total of 11 townhouses and 12 single-family homes with a pool, and the first 13 of those 23 units are going up now, and they'll be completed in May, as will the pool, and then the next 10 units will start going up in April, start site work in April, and we'll complete those by the end of the year. So the first 13 are under contract, and we're going to start marketing the next 10 in the next month or so. But to answer your question about phase two includes the Chamber of Commerce building, the old bank building, and the school board building, which basically is a corner of Irving and Hawthorne.
Okay. And I know that you've been, I guess, looking for potential tenants for each of those buildings. Do you have anybody lined up for them, or what are your plans?
So the school board building is going to be a five-bedroom, small bed and breakfast that will operate. The bank building, we are going to have a co-working space down on the ground level and then an apartment upstairs. And again, we will operate that co-working space. It's going to be called Kobe Workspaces, and it should be open by August, I would think. And for those folks who don't know what a co-working space is, you can rent an individual office. You can pay a monthly membership fee to work in the co-working space, the open area. Or you can simply have a mailbox there if you like. But we'll have a conference room, we'll have a full kitchen, provide internet, janitorial, desk, chair, all your furniture, coffee each morning. So it's a plug-and-play workspace. And for folks that want to have an office year-round, or maybe you just want to work there for 3 months in the summer while you're in town, it'll house folks like that, and including us. We'll have an office inside the co-working space, Dotson Property Management and Dotson Development. And then the third building, the chamber building, we're currently trying to find a tenant for the downstairs, which is about 1,600 square feet of space, and we are making the upstairs there an apartment as well. So we should close on 2 weeks or so, and we will have those buildings renovated by the end of the summer, hopefully midsummer.
And if you haven't figured out exactly who the tenants are going to be in some of those downstairs spaces, do you just gut them and wait and figure out what you want to build it out as later?
Yeah, we will start renovating. Obviously, the upstairs will renovate to an apartment. The downstairs will renovate into a warm-lit shell. So it'll have, drywall, paint, bathrooms, electric, plumbing, HVAC, will all be intact. And then the tenant could come in and rent the entire space, or if they wanted us to help them renovate the space into smaller rooms, or depending on the user, we could do that. But yeah, it'll be a finished product. It'll just be a big open space on that ground level.
Right. A blank canvas, if you will.
That's correct. Yep.
Good. And I'll go back to phase one just for a second, because you did touch upon that. So it sounds like most of the townhouses that you're already building have been sold.
Yeah, they're under contract. They won't close until construction is completed, which would be May, most likely. But all 13 that we are building are under contract. That's correct.
Wow, that's great. In May, you'll close on those deals and people will start moving in the summertime. And then the downstairs, you're waiting to see what a tenant's going to want. Do you have, maybe you can't talk about it, any irons in the fire there?
We have a couple of groups looking at it. Some want the whole space, some want just half the space. We're trying to sort through their needs and see if any of them are a good fit or not, and we'll hopefully figure that out soon. But Philip Baxter with Spirit Van Ness is listing that space for us. So we'll, like anything, everything rents better once it's renovated and pretty.
Yeah.
Shiny. And so we may get someone to sign up now, or it may be closer to the summer before we find someone, but I think we'll find someone hopefully by the end of the summer. That's right. Yep.
And then you immediately start building the second group of those townhouses on the tail of that?
Yeah, we plan to start the site work in April. We'll start marketing them for pre-sale around that same time. And it's about probably a six-month build. So by the end of the year, we should have those completed, barring major weather setbacks.
Right. And have you, that's an interesting point. Have you been on schedule with the first phase, or did you fall behind a little bit like everything seems to do these days?
Our contractor, which is THS Construction based out of Richmond, they're doing a fantastic job pushing us along and keeping us on track. I think we have about a 2 or 3 week delay so far due to the supply chain. And really, it's kind of funny. It's not even a COVID-related supply chain. It's from the, remember in Fredericksburg, the week where we had a lot of snow and Tim Kaine was stuck on 95 for 27 hours and
yes.
Fredericksburg lost power for like several days. Well, that power outage delayed our roof trusses, and that's really the only material delay so far. There's you know, issues here and there. We had to change the siding type. We had to change some of the appliances because they weren't available, but we've been able to kind of navigate that world okay so far. So just a 2 or 3 week delay, which in today's world is not bad, because a lot of people are experiencing much more significant delays in different parts of the world.
Well, absolutely. And I remember when we spoke about phase one, when it was getting going, and you were sort of talking about, you know, contingency plans and, you know, expecting to have to jump some hurdles to get things done on time, because you knew that COVID was going to throw you some roadblocks.
Yes, that's correct. I think in today's world, I think it's going to be for a good chunk of this year as well. You're just going to have continued supply chain issues throughout the world. I think it seems like when you fix one problem, another one pops up in the supply chain. But at the end of the day, I think a lot of it can be overcome through communication, trying different materials, different vendors, and just trying our best to navigate through it.
And with that second group of townhouses, are they going to be in any way significantly different from the first group, or are they just more of the same?
The only difference is they won't have a fourth bedroom and extra bathroom downstairs. It'll be, the ground level will be like a carport, if you will. So the second and third floor are on stilts because of the soil at the bottom of the hill. And so the first 13 units were all four bedroom units. The next 10 we're building will be three bedroom units. So some difference there.
A little less square footage.
And a little less square footage, and they're actually spread out, so they're not actually townhouses. They're actually single families, so you have a little bigger yard for each of those as well.
Okay. All right. So moving on to phase two. So you said the school board building is going to be apartments, but it's an Airbnb style. So you're going to do short-term rentals out of there. Are you going to be managing that yourselves?
The school board building, yes, will be a five-bedroom, and technically it'll be built as a bed and breakfast, but it'll be short-term rentals out of that five-bedroom house there.
And then the old bank building, you said a sort of a we workspace, a group area. Will there be individual offices that people can rent, or is it just an open office plan?
Yeah, we'll have a total of three individual offices, and we'll have a conference room. We will have a big open space, a co-working space where you could have, you know, 12 to 15 people could work comfortably. And so you could rent an office as a 12-month lease, you know, and have your own office and still have access to the conference room and the other amenities in the building. Or you could simply pay a monthly fee for a co-working membership, and you would just work out of the open area.
The offices with walls would only be available if somebody were to sign a full-year lease. Is that right?
That's right. Correct. Yep.
So you've got basically kind of different levels. You've got somebody who wants to rent an actual office for the full time. You've got people who just want a desk that they can use in an open plan. Is it where that desk is their desk, or do people kind of jump around and
you... Yeah, it's not exclusive. So we'll have numerous workstations throughout that space, and a kitchen and a pool table, and it'll be, you know, during the day will be work. People can work out of the space. At night, that space will double as event space. So nonprofits will let them use the space for events and functions. That like the big main room of the bank, if you've been in there, you've got the vaults in there, the really cool vaults. It'll be very well decorated, renovated space. I think folks will enjoy using as event space. We could rent it out to folks for a fee, but we could also, we'll also let some local nonprofits and other groups just use the space for free. I think the community will really like the space once it's built out.
And you mentioned the vaults, and there's some really nice high ceilings in that space as well. I guess you're gonna leave that to kind of create that nice atmosphere in there.
Absolutely, yeah. It's gonna be a historic tax credit renovation, and so DHR, the Department of Historic Resources, basically tells you what you can and can't do, but they really push you to preserve all the historic fabric in the building. So in this case, you're talking about the woodwork, the windows, the vault, the high ceilings. We'll kind of restore that building to its former glory, and I think it's gonna be a really good looking building.
Nice. And the vaults themselves, that sounds interesting. What will they be?
The larger vault will be a conference room. So I'll have a conference room table, chairs, TV in there, so you could host a meeting. One of the challenges is we're working on like a way to give privacy to folks in that room without shutting that big vault door, because you don't want to get locked in there accidentally for eternity. But we also want to provide some privacy for folks using the conference room. So we're working through that challenge with our architect now. The second smaller vault we plan to use for mailboxes and for storage of supplies, you know, coffee and office supplies, things like that.
That could be an interesting meeting tactic. Nobody's leaving this room until we come up with a solution.
It'd be pretty scary to get locked in that thing. It's a really impressive combination lock, you know, door, and it looks like it still works, but I still would not want to be, I don't trust anybody enough to shut that door while I'm in there.
You go in. No, you go in.
Exactly.
So you're working on having some other kind of door that's a little less intimidating.
Correct. And we don't know what that solution is yet, but we'll figure that out between now and then. You have to follow the DHR rules, which may prohibit you from adding a new partition. And you don't want to add something that takes away from the kind of historic charm of that vault. Maybe it's a sound machine or something that provides white noise. That will give you some privacy so people can hear what you're saying, but it might not actually close the door. But we'll work through it. I don't envision that being a big problem. I think the vault looks more impressive when it's open so everybody can see inside there.
It's an interesting space, that's for sure.
Yep.
And then you mentioned the open office area, so that's just a place where people will plop down with their laptops and work during the day. And then you said potentially have events going on in the evenings.
Yeah. I think that event space, you know, comfortably will hold 30 people or so. So I know there's a lot of organizations that look for places to meet in town. And when we opened Gather in Richmond, Gather is a larger co-working space here in Richmond, and we have 7 locations in Richmond and the Hampton Roads. One of the first things we did was allow the community just to use the space for free so they could see it. And once you see it and you're kind of wowed by it, you're more likely to tell a friend about it. And then that leads to people coming to visit down the road and possibly becoming co-working members. We envision some folks that live in town using the space year round. And we envision folks that are just here in the summer. They could pay a monthly fee during the summer just to use the space. If you're like me and you have kids and you want to come here a lot, but you still want to be able to get some work done. It's hard for me to get work done once my kids start running around the house. So I can see myself, you know, coming in on a Friday morning from 9 to 12 and knocking out at least half a day before the weekend starts.
So in a COVID environment, you see this still as something that people would want to do, where they just need to get out of the house and be a little more productive.
Yeah, correct. You know, hopefully this COVID stuff's going away, but when COVID hit in Richmond, it hurt the co-working space at first, but then people found a way to start working safely using masks and spacing and all that. And so the co-working spaces here in Richmond have thrived, you know, not counting those first 3 or 4 months of COVID. Ever since then, they've been fine. So yeah, I think that hopefully we don't have another round of this COVID stuff, but if we do, I think people have kind of learned to how to operate in that environment. The folks that have an office can kind of shut the door. The folks that work in the co-working space can just spread out, wear a mask if need be. And I think a lot of people have done that here, and it's worked fine.
We've all learned to navigate some pretty unusual situations in the last 2 years.
We certainly have.
And you mentioned the people could pay just a monthly fee. So is that, you think, going to be the kind of minimum time where a person can rent is a month at a time?
That's usually like what we do here in Richmond, and we'll probably do it there. People always ask, can I have pay a daily rate? And to be perfectly frank, we'll probably have a daily rate. We just won't apply it much. If someone's in town and wants to use it one day, we'll probably just let them. And then if they want to stay more, we'll just say, why don't you sign up for a month, just like a gym membership.
Hmm. Just got to hook them first.
Yep. And it's not for everybody. You know, some people like working from home, and that's fine. It's not a huge space. We don't need a ton of members to make it work, you know. Just a handful of office renters and, 10 to 15 coworkers. And of the 10 to 15, maybe 3 or 4 will be there at a time on average. So it won't be overly crowded. I think that is, for as big as that building is, that would be an adequate number of members.
I was going to ask you, you're kind of counting on, much like the gym memberships, you're kind of counting on not everybody showing up at the same time at the same day.
Correct, especially in a seasonal town. You know, a lot of folks live in Arlington or Alexandria or Richmond or Fredericksburg, and maybe they're here Thursday through Sunday in the summer, or maybe they're here for a couple of weeks at a time in the summer. It's just like at a gym. Yeah, it's rare that everybody's there at the same time. And some people, as you know, work 12 hours a day. Some people work 3 hours a day. And some people work in the morning. Some people work later in the afternoon or later at night. And so it's rare that it gets too crowded. But we would cap it at a certain number if that became a problem.
Right. Okay. And then the final building, the Chamber of Commerce building, you said that also is going to have apartments. Are they going to be short-term rentals or?
Yes, more than likely the upstairs of the bank and the upstairs of the chamber building are going to be apartments that we rent out short-term, correct.
And again, your management company, since you guys are used to doing this sort of thing, that you'll just handle all that yourselves internally.
That's correct. Lori Gore is going to run all things for us, Colonial Beach, and she lives there in Colonial Beach now. I've known Lori for 10 plus years. She used to live here in Richmond, and her sister also lives in Colonial Beach. And so she lives there now. She's going to work out of the co-working space. She's going to manage the co-working space for us, manage our Airbnb short-term rentals for us, as well as our, you know, we'll have some longer-term rentals in town as well.
Yeah, just because you're doing short-term rentals doesn't mean you're opposed to somebody renting for longer if they want to. Is that right?
Yeah, correct. Yeah. I mean, that's our management company manages a lot of long-term rentals in Richmond and Fredericksburg. And so our Fredericksburg office for years has managed, you know, 5 to 10 single family homes here in Colonial Beach. And we'll look to hopefully find more clients that we could do that for as well.
Great. Is there anything else about phase two that you think folks should want to know about?
I think you hit all the topics.
Okay, and then is there anything you want to preview about phase three?
Sure. Yeah, phase three is right around the corner. So we hope to close on the phase three land in May. Phase three is where Willie's Barbecue is now. So that large parcel just beside High Tide.
And right. So that's the area in front of the boardwalk, encompassing that parking lot, I guess, and Willie's.
Correct. Yeah, basically, yeah, from Taylor Street to the boardwalk and from High Tide to Hawthorne, that whole rectangular parcel there.
Right. So there's Willie's and there's a parking lot and there's also the town's visitor center, I believe,
That's
on
right.
that land.
That's correct. Yep. So that is going to be 8,000 square feet of retail, which is going to be, we have two restaurant tenants on board that will occupy that space. And so that those restaurants will be, one will be more of a seafood concept, and one will be more of a pizza barcade concept. So picture pizza, bar, arcade on the water. I know historically the town had arcades there along the boardwalk, and I think some folks in town were excited to kind of bring that back. It's something that it could be a, you know, a social night spot at night, but it could also be a great spot for kids and families during the day to give them something to do. So you could have a bite to eat, have a beer, play a few video games, you know, maybe things like skee ball and golden tee and shuffleboard, things like that. So it should be a fun little destination that I think people will, not just Colonial Beach, I think others will come visit Colonial Beach once they hear about these two restaurants opening. And then above the restaurants, we're going to have nine two-bedroom condos for sale. So we'll start marketing those in about 45 to 60 days, and we hope to close on the land in May, and then have those restaurants and everything built by, call it next April 1, 2023. All that should be completed.
So the construction of phase three is really right on the heels. As soon as you finish phase two, you're jumping in, hopefully, on that construction. Because that, as I recall, you said phase two, you hope to have built by the end of May. And then phase three starts.
Phase two will probably be like midsummer, because it's about a 6-month renovation. So we'll close in March.
No, that's right. You're closing. It sounds like you're closing on phase two and three at the same time in May.
No, we're closing on phase two in March and phase three in May.
Oh, okay. So, but right on the heels of each other.
The construction will overlap a little bit. So hopefully phase two will close in March and be 6 months or less, maybe 5 months, maybe four, but 6 months at the most. So we're talking late summer. We'll try to finish that up. And then phase three will start this May, and we won't finish that till April 1 of next year, 2023.
So in summary, we've got phase two about to really get underway very, very shortly, and construction hope to be complete this summer. So people will see the buildings on Hawthorne Street and North Irving looking a lot better by the end of this summer.
Yep, that is correct, and we're very excited about it.
Anything else you want to add before we finish up?
No, I would just say that we're very excited about phase one, two, and three, and beyond. We've really enjoyed getting to know a lot of folks in Colonial Beach. You know, my family, we're going to have a place in phase one, so we'll be part of the community in May, and we'll be up here a lot this summer. And I look forward to getting to know more folks and soliciting more citizen feedback. We get a lot of feedback from a lot of people, and we certainly appreciate that. So we'll keep plugging along, and we look forward to the future success of Colonial Beach.
Duke Dotson, thank you very much for joining me on WWER's Town Matters. I wish you the best of luck in all the hurdles you have to overcome.
Thank you, Ted. Always a pleasure.
The programming on 88.1 FM is made possible in part by WWER Watts members, who show their support of community radio by donating online at wwer.org/membership. If you like our programming, please consider contributing to wwer.org/membership.